Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Wow, I tell you, Rhonda, choir, instrumentalist, thank y'all so much for leading us into the presence of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, wow, if you can't preach after that, something's wrong with you now. But I'm telling Jerusalem, you know, Jerusalem's been in the news a lot lately. And now our president has moved the embassy back to Jerusalem. You know, we look at the book of Revelation, and we see the dimensions of the city of Jerusalem. And we try to say, how big is Jerusalem? Is it big enough? Y'all, Jerusalem, as we sing about it and we read about it in Scripture, Jerusalem is just the capital city. It's like Washington, D.C. Heaven is so much bigger, grander, greater than those distances we read about in the Bible. Y'all, it is big enough for everyone and each one who calls upon the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So thank you, choir, for singing this morning. I can't, you know, I almost want to preach on heaven this morning, but you know, old George Burns, the comedian, said, to a preacher, he said, you have a good beginning and a good ending and as little in the middle as possible. So I better get going. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles. And what a joy it is to be with you this morning. What a joy is. I hear such good things. And Pastor Michael just shares with me what a joy it is to serve Sandhill Church. And we've known one another, most of us, and we've journeyed along those lines. Thank you for loving him, for allowing him to lead you. And thank you for what you mean to the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John, we're going to be reading out of John, beginning in verse 19 in just a few minutes. Now, a few weeks ago, Michael asked me what my message was going to be about this morning, and I told him the message that God was laying on my heart was, is fake news really new news? Now, news left out, when I was saying that's kind of a tough, is fake news really new news? Now, we've been hearing a lot lately about fake news. I want to ask you a couple questions about the Golden Arches, McDonald's. Is it really true? Is it really true that several years ago, a man went in and got a cup of coffee, and it was so hot that he spilled it on himself, and he was injured, and he sued McDonald's for having their coffee too hot? The most recent one I've heard is this. A man went in and he was depressed and saw on the menu board of McDonald's Happy Meal. He bought and ate a Happy Meal. It caused him to go into a deeper depression, and he sued McDonald's for false advertisement. Now, in the world in which we live in today, we don't know many times what is fake news and what is real, true news. Is fake news really new? I just go back and just keep your Bibles in John chapter 1 for a minute, but in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, the writer of Ecclesiastes said, what has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Fake news is not a new phenomenon today. April Fool's Day used to be one day out of the year, April 1. April Fool's Day, in the culture we live in today, is every day. It was almost 80 years ago, October the 30th, 1938, the day before Halloween. There was no television in 1938. There was radio, and many people had radio. On that evening of October the 30th, the Capitol Broadcasting System, we know it today as CBS, had announced in advance that they would be having a melodrama that night, the day before Halloween. Well, it came that night and big band music was played, and people all over Maryland, especially people in the northeastern part of the United States, had tuned in to CBS radio. All of a sudden, as that melodious big band music played, an announcement came: we interrupt our programming to bring you breaking news. Now, how often do we hear breaking news? But the announcer went on to say, from the International Radio News Network, I inform you that the Earth has been invaded by Martians. The Martians have heat rays, and they're killing everybody. The United States military has been devastated. There was mass chaos. The phone lines were jammed. People thought the world was coming to an end, that the Earth had been invaded by the Martians. And we know today that it was fake news. It was H.G. Wells, The War of the Worlds. 2,000 years ago, there was a very curious broadcaster that came upon the scene of human history. In fact, he was so strange that in Matthew chapter 3, in verse 4, this man named John the Baptist had a camel hair garment with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then people from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from all the vicinity of the Jordan were flocking to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. They went out of this strange curiosity. When I was a boy in Orangeburg, I don't know if he ever came through Kershaw, but we called him the Goat Man. Once every 4 or 5 years, there was a man who came through Orangeburg in a covered wagon. There were mules that pulled the wagon, and he had a herd of goats behind him. And at night, he just pulled into a field for about a week, and out the back of that covered wagon, he would preach. And the crowds came to him. And John the Baptist was this odd broadcaster. But John the Baptist is so strange. He is the one who says, I am not. Look at our scripture, if you will, this morning in John chapter 1, verse 19. Now, up until this point, we have a beautiful picture of God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 19, this is his testimony. This is John's testimony when the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him, who in the world are you? He said, he did not refuse to answer, but he declared, I am not. I am not the Messiah. What then, they asked him, are you Elijah? I am not, he said. Are you the prophet? No, he answered. Then who are you, they asked. We need to give an answer to those who sent us. what can you tell us about yourself? He said, I am a voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, just as Isaiah the prophet said. Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees, so they asked him, why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah? Are you not Elijah? Are you not the prophet? Why do you baptize? In verse 26, I baptize with water, John answered them. Someone stands among you, but you don't know him. He is the one coming after me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to untie. And all of this happened in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Will you bow with me as we pray? Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of my heart be found this morning acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and our Redeemer. Open our hearts, Lord, to your holy word. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You know, Jesus was the great I Am. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. When you partake of my word, I'm the bread of life. I'm the living water. I am the door that if you walk through that door, you will have eternal life. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection, and I am the life. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus was the great I Am. John the Baptist is the great I Am Not. Now hold with me this morning as we go through this scripture. John's testimony is this as we begin. Number one, he says, they ask the question, are you the Messiah? To which he declares, I am not, in verse 20, the Messiah. You know, there are two hard facts in life that are many times difficult for me to keep straight as we walk through life. There is God, and I am not God. There are some confusing things that happen in life. We cannot understand all of the mysteries of life. In fact, you remember in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was having all of these dreams, and all of his king's court and his wizards and his magi, they could not tell him what those dreams were, and finally Daniel told him that. But in Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, listen what God's word says as Daniel was going to tell Nebuchadnezzar about those dreams. Talking about God, he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and the hidden things. He knows what is in his darkness, and light dwells in him. I offer thanks and praise to you, God of my fathers, because you have given me wisdom and power. And now you have let me know what we ask of you, for you have let us know the king's mystery. Now I want you to notice that kings is not capitalized there. There's no way that we can know all of the mysteries of God. There are things in life that happen to you and happen to me that I have no control over. God gives us freedom of will. We choose. We could choose not to sin or to sin. But sometimes life comes at us and life does not seem fair. Life cannot be fair. Do you know why life cannot be fair? Because we live today in a fallen world. But we have something that is greater than fairness. We have a Lord of mercy and grace and forgiveness. There was a time in mine and Roseanne's life, I remember on my knees thanking God and praising God that I had gotten through life and nothing had slammed me in the face. There had been ups and downs, the bumps and the bruises of life. Oh yes, they had come. And little did I know what we would face ahead of us. Life can be confusing. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, he has made everything appropriate in its time. He has put eternity in their hearts. He's put eternity in our hearts. You see, are there those times when you say, there's just something out there, there's some purpose, I don't have that purpose, that meaning in life, there's got to be something more than this life. That's eternity. That's because you were made, and I were made for eternity. God has marvelously created us in Psalm 139 and knitted us together in Psalm 139. And he's knitted us together for this world. But we were created for more. And when we say there's got to be more, we're looking for that heavenly purpose. He's made everything appropriate in his time. He has put eternity in ours, but man cannot discover the work that God has done from the beginning to the end. John the Baptist said, no, I am not. I am not the Messiah. There's a hard truth. There's God. And I am not him. I want you to look at the next verse in here. Then they ask, as they tried to get to the bottom of it, then, are you Elijah? Are you Elijah? No, he said, I'm not Elijah. Now, in the very last verses of the Old Testament, if we went back over to Malachi chapter 4, beginning in verse 5, look, the Lord says, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Now John the Baptist says, I'm not the Elijah. Now Matthew 11:14 says John the Baptist is the Elijah. You see, John the Baptist didn't realize the full extent of how God was using him. He did not recognize his value to Almighty God. And you see, that can happen to you, and that can happen to me. I'm up here, and I know most of y'all. Y'all know me. We've journeyed in life together at many points in life. But today, I have an audience of one. My audience of one is God. As you live life, your audience is an audience of one, an audience to God, as we relate humanly to one another. You may not think you are much. You may not think you are meaningful. You may think that what you're doing in the life of the bride of Christ, the church, is not achieving much. That is fake news. Satan is the master of fake news. Fake news has been around since the Garden of Eden. It was several years ago. In fact, it's probably been 10 or 15 years ago. I was in a meeting in Columbia with Josh McDowell, one of the premier youth. He was an adult, and he's getting a little bit of age on him too now. But just one of the eminent ministers to youth in our nation. There's about 150 of us there. It was the First Presbyterian Church in downtown Columbia. And just this past June 30th, from the Biblical Recorder, there's a major article about what Josh McDowell has been telling us, and he's been telling us that most adults see truth as objective and external. In other words, throughout the generations, truth has not been within me to be realized. Truth has been from without of me, objective and external. In other words, it has been the Word of God. But the youth culture would say today, that's ridiculous. All moral truth is created. This generation has no reference point for truth. You see, that is the greatest deception that is going on in our world today. That truth is that which I create within myself. How I feel about this. How I feel about that. I love faith evangelism. Pastor Truesdell knows faith evangelism like nobody else knows faith evangelism. And Pastor, I still use that sentence, that question. In your personal opinion, what do you think it takes for a person to go to heaven? Now, everybody has a personal opinion. But the reality, that question gets you to the only truth. The truth is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's one way. There are not many ways. If there were many ways, we would never know if we were following the right way. Elijah was a humble servant. An illustration, a model of humble confidence for you and for me. For you are so meaningful to God as we stand when we cannot understand the world and we cannot understand the world that surrounds us. We can stand on His holy word. Are you the Messiah? I'm not. No. Are you Elijah? No. Are you then, look at the scripture, are you then the prophet in verse 21? No, he replied. I am not the prophet. Now Moses predicted that a great prophet would be sent by God. And John said, I am not, because he knew the great prophet, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, was coming. And the Bible says in Luke 1, here's the balance. Here's the balance. That John was filled with the Holy Spirit since birth. Now, who is that said about? Nobody else in the Bible. That John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit since birth. One nursery worker said one time, well, I sure wish I had had John the Baptist in the nursery when I kept it. But John the Baptist knew himself, and he knew the Savior, and he knew the relationship. Now, here's the key to remember. I will only discover who I am in Christ when I admit who I am not in myself. I will only understand who I am in Christ when I begin to understand who I am not in myself. Now, Paul begins to explain that. It's so balanced. In Romans chapter 7, in the marvelous book of Romans, in Romans chapter 7, beginning at about verse 15, Paul says, for I do not understand what I'm doing. Because I do not practice what I want to do, but what I hate. Paul said, what I want to do, I don't do. And what I do, I don't want to do. And if I do not do what I want to do, I agree with the law that is good. So now I am no longer the one thing doing it, but it is sin living in me. Paul says, yes, I'm the greatest of sinners. He had that Damascus Road experience, and he knows he's a sinner. But look at the balance. Look at chapter 8 of Romans, verse 1. Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. We must see ourselves as sinners, saved by a marvelous Savior named Jesus. In John chapter 15, 5, there's the balance. Without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. You can't do anything without me. In Philippians 4:13, Paul says, but with Christ, I can do all things. Without him, nothing. With him, everything. In myself, nothing. In God, everything. John the Baptist knew who he was, and he knew what his purpose in life was. He said, I am not, but I will point you to the one who is the I am. In the Baptist Courier, I got a new one yesterday in the mail. I don't know if y'all got it or not, but the one that was the July issue focused on death and dying. And we will all leave. We'll all leave with unfinished business. It was that October 30th, 1938. It happened in Campbellsville, Kentucky, at Campbellsville Baptist College. There was a young man 80 years ago who was listening to that radio broadcast on CBS, the Capital Broadcasting Network, News Network. He heard about the Martians who were attacking the Earth, our world. And he ran from his dormitory over to the chaplain's office and he yelled, I'm not ready to die. I'm not ready to die. And that night, the chaplain at Campbellsville Baptist College led that young man to Jesus Christ. The next day in chapel, he was the laughing stock of everyone, of all the students. And the chaplain asked him to come forward, and he said that this young man had invited Jesus Christ in his heart the night before. And the chaplain said, you're laughing at him, but how many of you are ready to die? We will all die with unfinished business. My cousin died about 2 weeks ago, and on that evening, the text lit up. We did not know Gene was that sick. Roseanne and I were going to visit him the next day. And it seems as a text came in that somehow we all had unfinished business. Do you this morning have any unfinished business with the Lord? Without God, nothing. With God, nothing is impossible. Real guilt, imaginary guilt, we'll be talking about that tonight. Grief, a grudge, an injury, life is not fair. We'll all die with unfinished business. Jesus died, and he finished the business. He finished the business of dying on Calvary's cross, shedding that first blood freely given in the Garden of Gethsemane, in those great drops of blood, which medically is called hematidrosis, when a person is almost in shock. And when that happens, the blood and sweat come together, and he sweat those first great drops of blood before he was arrested for you and me. He finished the business of mine and your salvation. But he left some business unfinished too when he went to the tomb. He rose again. And on that first Easter, do you think that was Easter like we have in like Ms. Rhonda and that choir and these instrumentalists and we sing on Easter Sunday? You think it was that joyous day on that first Easter? Oh no. There were two women who went to the tomb, and they were pretty excited. But those disciples and those followers of Jesus, they didn't know if that was fake news or real news. And Jesus came back, and he lived among them, and he ate with them, and he went through doors, and he talked with them. And they touched him, and they saw it was real. And the Holy Spirit came upon their lives. And it transformed them to go out and to be the disciples of Jesus. Today, we celebrate like an Easter Sunday that he's the risen Savior. He lives in us today. And John the Baptist, no, John, I'm not. There's nothing in myself. I can do nothing. I'm not. With him, I can do everything. And he can do everything that he needs to do in my life when I open my heart and humble myself and break before him in humble love. I want to ask you today, do you have any unfinished business with Jesus? He finished the work on the cross. And he says, whosoever may come, you come. Let this be a new Easter morning. Bow with me as we pray. Holy Father, we live in a confusing world of news that we don't know is fake news or are true. But Father, we thank you that we can turn to your word and know that it is the truth. And upon the foundation of that truth, we build our lives. Father, we know that Satan wants to get into our life, and he wants to put all kind of fake news, fake thoughts, fake attitudes, fake actions that, Father, he tells us to do, that we know that your word tells us will lead to destruction. Thank you, Father, that you give us not only the good news, but the greatest news, the news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And thank you today, Father, that we can rediscover that I am not, but he is. Thank you, Father, that he is everything to us. And today, Father, thank you that you can do in us far more than we could ever, ever ask or think. Father, open our hearts. Walk with us, Lord. Walk into our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just a moment.